Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need when you need them at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of this show. You're about to listen to the J.J. Vilard episode. My favorite part of his interview was him talking about getting his two shows picked up by Adult Swim, King Star King and J.J. Vilard's Fairy Tales. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. What's up, man? Can you hear me?
Hey.
What's going on, JJ?
What's up, Stevie?
Yeah, thanks for doing this. How do you say pronounce your last name?
Vilard.
Vilard. Okay, I thought it was Villard, but it's Vilard.
Yeah. It's Vilard.
Is that French by any chance?
Fucking French. Everybody thinks I'm Mexican.
That's French as fuck, isn't it? Vilard.
Je m'appelle Jean-Jacques Vilard.
That's what's up. Hell yeah.
Man, we
got a lot to cover, man. I really appreciate you doing this. We're living during a crazy time. First off, I want to say rest in peace, MF Doom.
Oh my God, rest in peace, MF Doom, dude.
It's been a depressing month or so.
That sucked, dude.
You know what's weird is I sent off for this like months before he passed, and this arrived like.
Let me see it. Oh shit.
Yeah, it's a MF. I got off rhymesayers.com, I think.
Is it like a gray? Oh, shit. That's good, dude.
Yeah, it's him. Yeah, it's him as the villain. It kind of has like a Twitch thing on the side. Like just it says Doom. Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, so rest in peace. Man, we're living during a crazy time. I want to ask you first off, because you know, there's a Cobra. I'm not going to reveal your email, but did you grow up with G.I. Joe?
Yeah, of course, man.
Is that from G.I. Joe?
Yeah, that's my inspiration.
Yeah, I knew it. Yeah, for those, because we're a little bit older, because I grew up with G.I. Joes as well. I used to take them outside on like, the dirt and everything, and I would kind of create my own little thing, like dental floss. I'd wrap dental floss around their bodies.
Yeah, of course, man. We all did. Yeah. That was like, it was always in my mind to do that type of stuff. Exactly that type of thing that you're just
like,
talking about.
Like Cobra Commando.
Yeah, Cobra Commander.
Oh, what's up? Cobra Commander. Sorry. It's been a long time. That was like, what was that, 19, God, 80?
That was like 80s, dude. That was 80s shit.
Okay, yeah. the Transformers come after that?
Kind of did. Did you play with your Transformers and G.I. Joes together?
Yeah, and then I remember when WWF, they had like these rubber action figures. I remember I had Hulk Hogan, I had a Hillbilly Jim, was it Coco Beware? Do you remember Coco Beware?
Of course.
oh, Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Yeah. Dude, by the way, are we live right now?
Oh, yeah. This is like my thing is just, I just start talking, you know?
That's sick. I didn't know. I thought it was like a countdown or some shit.
Oh, no. I out the gate, I just begin. Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. Dude, listen to this. So like back in the day when I was a kid, we used to go to Chinatown all the time in Los Angeles. Yeah. And my dad would give me 10 bucks and he'd go like, go spend it on whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
And $10 in Chinatown in like the fucking early 90s and late 80s, you could buy a lot of good
you could
shit.
Buy a turtle too.
You could buy a fucking turtle,
a pet turtle, you know what I mean, one of those little ones.
I remember the pet turtles, but yes. You could also buy the bootleg Transformers and bootleg G.I. Joe.
Oh hell yeah. Do you remember GoBots?
Of course, dude. GoBots was sick.
Yeah. Okay, I gotta give a shout out to Chinatown, because out here in Chinatown I discovered the best insecticide to get rid of cockroaches.
What is it?
It's this, I don't even know, because I can't read Chinese, man, but it's this little chalk.
What?
It comes like this orange package, like a bubble gum. package. They're like 50 cents or 25. But let me tell you, man, when I first moved out here on Whitley, you know, Hollywood and Whitley, it was pretty gutter right there off the boulevard.
Yeah.
And my apartment was infested with cockroaches, man. But I went
and have you ever used that chalk for your nicks?
No.
You know what I'm talking about? When you nick yourself?
Oh, no. What is that?
Oh, my. So when you shave and you nick yourself and it doesn't stop bleeding, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's a piece of chalk you can buy at CVS and it's called the Nicker.
Oh.
And you put it on it and it stings like a motherfucker.
Oh, it works though?
It works. It dries that fucking cut up fast.
Yeah, man. But anyway, so like, yeah, like, my apartment was infested and the lady who was showing me the apartment, she actually, I saw when I was looking at the apartment, I saw a cockroach on the wall and I go, what's that? And she was like, oh, that's nothing. And like, she killed it in front of me and tried to hide it. But then, I tried Raid. I tried all kinds of different shits. But finally I went to Chinatown and I was in a store and I found this, I found that chalk, dude. And it killed even their babies. It killed the big ones, the little ones, and the baby cockroaches.
Well, dude, if China created Corona, they could also create
some chalk that killed. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Man, I'm really digging your art, man. I want to get into your art. So where, well, first of all, let's get some background info. Like, where are you originally from?
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, everybody thinks I'm Mexican, but I was born in England.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah. And then my grandma, I have a British grandma and 100% Vietnamese grandma.
Oh, Vietnamese in your blood? That's what's up.
I am so Vietnamese.
That's what's up, dude. Hell yeah. Okay. Okay.
That's why I'm so fucking crazy. So I got the British, the Vietnamese, and then my dad's French, and I moved to America when I was like zero.
You got war in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
Cause oh, that, you know what I'm saying? Like the Brits and the Vietnamese, they both have war in common, man.
Yeah.
That's
it's like
crazy.
That's why I can hang and bang in this industry, man. Cause this industry is fucking cutthroat, as you know.
It's crazy, huh?
I know all industries are tough, but show business is fucking nuts.
Especially if you're trying to do the acting shit. You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't even imagine.
Oh, man. Those auditions, because they have to, you got to be chosen. You got to kind of like.
I don't know how they do it.
Oh, man, they treat you so poorly, too. I remember being in those waiting rooms and, you know. Oh,
you've auditioned?
For commercials. I was in a sour Starburst commercial back in the day.
How'd that turn out?
It was good. I mean, I had to go through five auditions and shit, just making
a
sour face.
Did you get a lot of residuals?
Yeah, mate. That's like that. That's one good thing is a one day of work that I made a couple G's off that shit.
No way.
Couple
that's
G's. Yeah. I mean, I quit doing that shit, and thank God for the internet, and because now I just do my YouTube. I just do my own shit.
Everything's changed. The whole industry flipped.
I love
it. We are living in the fucking beginning of the Renaissance of all this. I mean,
yeah, that's a trip. That's a trip, isn't it? Because we're around the same age. Were you born in the 70s?
Yeah, 79.
Okay, 74. Yeah. So, yeah. Because we grew up, you had to get paid, you had to actually go in to get the, like, a physical paycheck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Think about that shit, you know?
Dude, when did you start working? Were you young?
Oh, my God. I've had so many shitty jobs.
When, age? 11?
I remember 12? I got my first job was at a fruit stand. My brother was working for this Japanese cat in Escondido. And I remember, man, I had to wake up at 5 a.m. and like I had to lug these crates of strawberries around and shit. It was the
what was the first job where you had to like sign a deal and like clock in and clock out?
Oh, that was not that. Oh God, that's a good question.
Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Oh, you work in food?
16 years old. Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Oh my God.
But before that, it was a lot of youth and unemployment stuff. Like, cause that was in Santa Barbara. We have youth employment. And so like, it was just like little like shit, like putting flyers on cars and
Oh
but
God.
My first official job was Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Yo, and man,
then,
more
then
power
Bebop
to
Burgers.
You. That,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, wait, what's the second one?
Bebop Burgers. Then Yamato. Oh no. Benihana,
Oh, God, love Benihana.
Yamato's, which is the same as Benihana.
Yeah, yeah. And that's Steve Aoki's dad's chain and shit, right?
Steve Aoki's dad is Yamato's. Yeah. I mean, Benihana. Yeah, he's all over there. Yeah, million, like that was fucking great. Yeah. And oh, dude, I served Kobe Bryant and O.J. Simpson.
Oh, shit. That's
I worked
legendary.
At the Santa Monica Benihana.
You worked at that one? At the promenade? Mm-hmm. The one by the promenade?
It was at the Marina Del Rey at first.
Okay, they moved it, though.
They moved it. I was working at the Marina Del Rey one.
Damn, how the hell? Did you ever get fired?
No. Dude, I was a good waiter, man. Look at this. Oh. Charm. No, I was okay, dude. I was okay. I you know, the bartenders were always great and they would give you free drinks and shit. And I learned really fast, like if my friends, because I watched other waiters and their friends come in and they would give their friends free drinks and they got caught. So I told my friends, ask for JJ, the server JJ, but make sure you pretend you don't know me.
Oh, shit.
And
yeah.
That's how you get free drinks.
Hey, man, I worked at IHOP. I worked at P.F. Chang's. I worked at Sake Sushi Bar. Man, I was so broke in college. I would, like, take sushi off. I would eat leftover sushi off people's trays and shit in the kitchen.
Oh, dude, I did the same at Yamato's.
You would just, you know what I'm saying? You go in the kitchen.
I would bring it back to my college dorm.
Yeah.
And everybody would come to my room to get the... old sushi.
Yeah, the rolls. Yeah. Okay, so like you mentioned, so you grew up around Santa Barbara too?
So what happened was I moved from England right away to Southern California, lived in the valley for a very short time, then moved to Malibu, lived in Malibu for 10 years, and then moved to Santa Barbara and lived there for 9 years, and then went to California Institute of the Arts in Valencia.
Oh, shit. Is that when you got... when did you get into art? Like as a kid or did you later in life?
Oh, so what happened was, I guess in high school, we had this one art teacher, Susie Siki, and she had this awesome class where, you know, the sketchbook, I feel like I'm rushing. Like I have to rush.
No, cool? Take your time.
So what happened was like in this art class, she would require that you have a sketchbook and your sketchbook got graded. So I would start drawing a sketchbook. And then like my first sketchbook that I handed in, I was so into it. And she wrote back, I'm giving you an A-. It would have been an A, but I'm giving you an A- because everything is so violent. Why the violence? And whatever. It was, you know.
I love it. I love it. That's why I think it's so dope, because it's so violent. The art.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know where that comes from or whatever it was. But yeah, it's just, I like drawing that stuff. I realized like a lot of kids were going to these fucking great colleges from my school. And I'm not, you remember in 8 Mile when he's like, and he went to a private school.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to a private school.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's just all these kids were going to the great schools. And then I just said, what can I do? And I guess I love drawing. And it kind of just went like that.
That's crazy.
I applied to Otis and I got into Otis College of Art and Design.
Oh, wait, describe to the listeners and viewers what Otis is. That's a prestigious art school in LA, isn't it?
That's a good art school in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They have this, the first year program is called the foundation year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's honestly like it's made to find yourself.
Yeah.
And as cliche as that sounds, I found myself in that shit, dude.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, hey.
That's crazy.
I found myself. Yeah.
Did you meet a lot of cool people, like-minded, like art students as well? Like, did you start networking and shit there?
Yeah. Absolutely. And then like, I'm a Libra, right? And so like Libras get turned on by like charm and like wearing fancy shit and all that stuff. And so all like the fucking super cool kids used to hang out front with their fur coats and like jewelry and makeup. And like, they all look badass. And I was like, whoa, those are the artists. Those were not the artists. The artists were the fucking people cranking out the work in their galleries because you're allowed studio space and Otis.
Yeah.
And the real artists were always working.
It always. wasn't
the, the cool kids hanging out front, you know?
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
like,
that's what I got from, because I love artists on this platform, because I've interviewed, like, you know, James Jean and Cho, but James Jean, he also said that the ones killing it are the ones always doing it.
Yeah.
They're, like, constantly doing it.
Yeah, yeah, that was hard to learn, man, because, like,
yeah, how did you learn that lesson? I'm curious, when did you learn that lesson?
It was funny, like, I think, like, what I noticed was, so what happens is when you get in your in the foundation year, you're separate, there's, like, 1,000 kids that get in, right? Like, maybe 1,000 kids in the ninth grade, and you get separated, not 1,000, that's way too many, like 500. So then you get separated in these groups of 30, and that's it. That's your crew for the rest of the year. And I noticed in my crew of 30, one kid, I remember his fucking name, Dustin Wiki. He, you never saw him, but his shit was always the best when it came to presentation day. And that's when I knew, I was like, wait a minute, this motherfucker is shining. Like, and during presentation time, which is every other week, like, he's got the respect of us 30 kids in our class. And I'm like, I want that respect. Fuck like being funny and like being the center of attention in the class. The respect comes from when you present your artwork. And
so that's where you get your respect, is the way your art looks. That's how they judge you.
And that's Dustin Wiki right there, a motherfucker.
So what was he doing? Just nerding out in his room and shit? Like,
he was nerding out in his room, man. He just like worked, because, like, the first year I remember it was just basic things that you'd have to do, like a still life drawing with just a pencil and paper. So you would have to draw whatever you wanted, like it could be a piece of fruit, a fucking skull, a goddamn light bulb, anything you wanted. But his shit would always, like, be more interesting and more technically good. I was like, I can do that if I focus. But I was a wild man at the same time, but I also so I mixed the two together. It was hard, but you got to just learn how to be disciplined.
Right. Like, how do you, I'll give you an example. Like, when we're doing a show in Minnesota, the band Monk Chief that I was in. Minnesota, and it was at an art gallery, and the cats there were like, they're looking for Dave, you know, they had spray cans, cause you could do shit. They're like, can you guys do art on the wall? Can Dave do murals? And I can't, you know, I draw on shit, but, you know, what I learned that day is there's different formats and shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's different than a pen. So I tried, but my shit was all blared out, like, just spread out. It looked ugly. It looked like a 5-year-old did it. And when they gave because Dave was outside, Dave came back in. And when Dave did his shit, it literally looked like a real person. Like, I don't know what he did. I think he put his finger. He had can control. Is that what you call it? Can control?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he did the shit. He, like, drew this this Chinese dude with a rice hat, patty hat. But it took him a couple seconds, and it looked real as fuck.
Yeah, well, I mean, that motherfucker, he's the Facebook fucking artist, dude. He's the dude that, like,
My mind, dude. That blew my mind. I'm like, whoa, dude, this guy, he knows how to do this with just that spray can.
See, like, that moment right there.
That blew my mind.
It's weird. And then you're like, whoa, people can do this and get respect from it. Like that blowing your mind thing was like, oh, man, I respect that motherfucker. He just blew my mind. Yeah.
It's like, you know, like an old kung fu movie. You know how, like, kung fu dudes had, like, you had your the flying guillotine or a crane style or
flying
tiger style.
Fucking sick.
But it's like when I saw that was like, it made me think, like, he was he had several specialties in his bag of kung fu tricks or whatever.
Yeah, chose badass, man.
And yeah, that. So going back to you, like, how did you learn your style and the way you progressed in your art?
Well, I mean, it was like, I guess from there, like, what happened was, I realized, like, not to, like, downgrade Otis, but, like, I wanted to, Otis was second rate compared to CalArts, you know? So I said, I got to get into CalArts.
Oh, well, where's
so
that right located? Away, where's CalArts again? Is that by Pomona kind of? No.
So Walt Disney built CalArts. In Valencia.
Oh, it's
California.
In Valencia. Okay, that's what's
and,
up. Okay,
the reason he built it in Valencia was on purpose. He knew the college kids were going to be wild, And he knew, and he said, I'm going to build it out of fucking LA so they don't get distracted in this fucking, in this shit town. So Tim Burton went there, right?
Oh, the director, Tim Burton?
Yeah.
Sleepy Hollow, Tim Burton.
And so it proved to be right because, like, if you look at Edward Scissorhands, it's 24700 McBean Parkway. That's Edward's address.
Oh, damn.
That's the same address as Cal Arts. And, like, Edward Scissorhands is up there doing his fucking shit with his scissors hand, right? And he lives below the fucking suburbs of America.
Yeah.
That's Valencia. That was crazy. A shout out to Cal Arts. Yeah, it was.
That was, like, metaphorical and shit.
Yeah, it was.
What the fuck?
The crazy fucking thing is Tim Burton's dorm room, which you walk by, it's in Chenard Hall in Cal Arts. He fucking, you know how a door has just like normal fucking pieces of wood?
Yeah.
And shit. Dude, that motherfucker is so fucking eccentric. He changed the door fucking just wood carpentry on his dorm room door.
Oh, shit.
And they kept it.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird. So I went there in 2004 and you walk by Tim Burton's room and you're like, that motherfucker was in that room. And that's his door. He was so gnarly at that age. You're talking about David Cho doing that graffiti shit. Imagine walking by Tim Burton's room door. I mean, that's Batman.
I know. What did that do to you? Like, must be inspiring.
It's just nuts because, like, you know, Tim Burton's one character, you know, John Lasseter, the creator of Pixar, he went to CalArts too. And you're just
shit.
And he always, in all his movies, drops his cubicle number in his Pixar movies.
That's dope. That's dope. So, like, hell yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but when you're at CalArts, you get a cubicle. Because you have to animate, and you have to animate, and it takes a lot of time. So you're in your cubicle a lot, and you each get a number on your cubicle. And John Lasseter's fucking number is in
that's
a lot of the
fucking crazy. So that's like a legendary art institution. Then, like, a lot of cats went through there, huh?
A lot of cartoonists went there. A lot of artists went there, and a lot of actors. They do all the school. Man, you know, it's just like. You know, my homie neck face.
I was going to bring him up. I have him written down. Because you guys have like a similar aesthetic, and I was going to, that was like later in my questions, but you brought it up first. Go ahead. So shout out to neck face. He's been on here too, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to neck face about you.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
He loves you, dude.
Oh, I love him too. I get nervous. I see him at my grocery stores. I've seen him at Ralph's and stuff. Like,
which
you
one?
Know,
Sunset.
Yeah, I saw him there once or twice. Yeah. Yeah, he's cool as fuck.
Yeah, next sick. But he fucking, you know, he went to Cami Arts for half a semester or some shit. He did not like college, but I'm kind of the opposite, dude.
You excelled.
I loved going to CalArts. It was so much fun. And it really, you know, animation's like, it takes a lot. Honestly, if you gave me a kid who was into cartoons in high school, I could teach him how to fucking get ahead in animation just with YouTube videos. But I do recommend going to CalArts. It's sick.
So let's distinguish what differentiates just art opposed to animation. Can you describe that to the viewers and listeners?
Oh yeah. So animation is just like a whole technique. You know, it's just there's a lot to it. I mean, first and foremost, what you learn is a lot of the anime that you watch is like 21 frames a second. Now, if you can just figure that out, that's 21 drawings in 1 second, you know?
Fuck that. That's crazy.
Like Akira.
Oh, that's legendary.
Yeah. All of Akira is like 21 frames a second. I mean, that is 21 frames. All those.
What about Ninja Scroll?
Ninja Scroll's like a little less.
Not as detailed.
Not as detailed, but
that was a dope one though. Ninja Scroll was dope.
But like Princess Mononoke, like all that shit, Dragon Ball Z is just like I'd say it's a little less. Like they learned how to do a lot with less frames, but Fist of the North Star is probably less, you know.
Dude, that was a dope one too.
That's it.
Yeah. So were you inspired by those types of animations?
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, Pinocchio is my favorite cartoon.
Oh, it is? But, oh, Pinocchio.
Pinocchio is my number one. So because of the story, yeah. I feel like that, like that little wooden puppet kid coming into Los Angeles and being like fucking the fox took advantage of him. The fucking gypsy dude took advantage of him. That's happened a lot to me.
So you identified a lot with the story, the narrative and everything.
For that movie, yeah. And on top of that, the animation's really cool.
Sick. Well, that brings me to my next point. Like some of your favorite movies and music that have inspired you as well. Go ahead.
Well, gosh, I guess movies, Sunset Boulevard, that's one that's really good. I mean, movies about show business, I guess. Sunset Boulevard, Mulholland Drive, and, what's the third one? Oh, fuck, I forgot the name of it.
Oh, what about movies from the 80s?
Map to the Stars.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Where can I watch that?
You can watch that on Netflix.
Okay.
Map to the Stars. That thing is dark.
What's it about?
It's fucking about show business, man. It's so scary. It's so scary.
I'm gonna write that down, dude. You got you sold me on that. Map
it's
to the
so
Stars.
It's so scary, man. It's so
what's so scary about that one?
Because it makes you realize who we're fucking wheeling and dealing with. Like, look, I've only met you for how long we've been doing this thing, like 15, 20 minutes. You seem like a nice guy. Like we're thrown chilling. We're thrown in this like this like Hollywood is full of evil. And I didn't know that.
I live in the heart of it too, dude.
I know, dude.
I live right by the tunnel system, right by the reptilian mall there. Kodak Mall.
Where's that? Oh, really?
Theater. Yeah, I live right by there.
Downtown?
No, I live right in Hollywood by the Kodak Theater.
Oh, shit. I used to live there, Cherokee and Hollywood.
Oh, God, we're practically neighbors.
No, I used to live there.
By the post office? There's a 7-Eleven. Yeah.
Cherokee and Hollywood, I lived for 6 years.
Have you been there lately?
Yeah.
Man, it's getting crazy in LA, the tents and everything. Like, do you think about that? What are your thoughts on what's going on with the tents and homelessness? It's dude, fucking nuts, theater. Dude. It's nuts.
Fucking Armageddon, man. It's so fucking crazy. All these, just the homelessness is just insane. I mean, we just brought up Neck. Neck was filming a homeless guy from his car, and then he sent it to me. And I was like, I saw him yesterday. That dude was wearing a cape. And like with a fur fucking collar, and I saw that dude. Like, man, it's this is the worst.
Dude. Yeah, because I've been in this area for like 17 years in Hollywood, and then this has been the worst. Like, I actually seen a dude a homeless dude take a shit. Like,
I've seen that
poo against.
Wall. When I was on Cherokee, I picked up my phone and I said, "What's up?" Like to my friend, right? I yelled it. A girl from outside my window said, "I'm sorry, I had to go." She was taking a shit in the bushes.
Oh, damn.
And that was just random. That was just like, that happens in Hollywood's gnarly though, man.
Yeah,
like,
what do you think it is, man? Hollywood attracts like talented people, but also crazy motherfuckers too.
Yeah, it really does. It's just like, you're right there, man. I don't know if you saw Bobby Lee on Ren and Stimpy documentary.
That's my brother, Bobby.
I know it's your brother.
Yeah. No, I don't watch it. I haven't seen a lot of, he's going to give me shit about this.
I'm sorry, man. Did you see him in that documentary?
No, I didn't see it, but dude, he's going to give me shit about that.
Dude, listen, man, you fucking tell him. He spoke about Ren and Stimpy and he's like, okay, the doc guy said, "Hey man, what do you think Ren and Stimpy is about?" And he said, it's about a dog and a cat on the precipice of light or whatever. He said a lot of shit. And then, but what the quote was so good. And it's really about, I feel, living in Hollywood, man. It's dark,
shit.
But having these two cute characters, a chihuahua and a cat.
Yeah, that's
why would he give you shit?
Because I still haven't seen The Dictator. yeah, because he's in The Dictator. I've seen, you know, the Harold and
Kumar. You haven't
shit.
Seen the Ren and Stimpy documentary?
No, I haven't. No, and I love documentary. You know what? I'm gonna check that out. I'm gonna check that out.
Okay. Oh, listen to this.
Yeah.
There's lots of versions. Okay. There's an Amazon version and there's a YouTube version.
Which one should I check out?
Get the fucking YouTube version.
All right.
That gives all the names of the artists. In Amazon, they drop the names, like the little names at the bottom. Like,
yeah.
Oh, here's blah, blah, blah. That was a background artist. Here's blah, blah, blah. He's an animator. It doesn't do it on Amazon. Apparently, I guess they were worried about the rights and all that shit.
That's
on
crazy.
YouTube, the fucking names
show,
there.
Get they show YouTuber. The real shit?
Yeah, dude. Your fucking brother's all over that shit.
Yeah, he you know what? I got to pay homage to him as far as him, like, yeah. Shout out to Bob.
Bob, Ren and Stimpy right here.
Ren and Stimpy, yeah. But he, like, I used to raid his record collection when we were kids, and, like, he had a lot of cool shit he opened me up to. Like, that's how I discovered, like, some punk shit, and, like, I learned about Echo and the Bunnymen and fucking The Cure. Like a lot about music and shit is just, like, going into his room and checking out his album collection or whatnot.
That's cool. Yeah. Dude, it's weird how it happens, however that happens.
Oh, yeah. But then, I don't know, somewhere down the line, I got into, like, my own, like, the hip-hop shit as well. He doesn't... Yeah. But
well, how'd you see my art? How'd you get into that? How'd you...
I don't know. I just think I just started following you. Maybe I've discovered you through Next shit. I don't know. But then once I saw your shit, I'm like, oh, I'm following him. Awesome. I discovered you somehow, and then I'm like, because your art, like, I'm like, oh, I like his shit, and I just followed you. Yeah. Like, you got some big things going on. I want to get to the point, because how did you link up with Adult Swim and come up with J.J. Vilard's Fairy Tales? Because I didn't want to miss that, because that's some major shit you're doing there.
Oh, thanks, dude. Yeah. So what happened was, like, oh, dude, listen to this. So when I was in CalArts, like, I'm not even lying. There's 45 kids a class, right? I found out in freshman year, only 4 kids were getting jobs out of CalArts.
Out of 45. That's not good.
That's a terrible ratio.
That's horrible.
So I started panicking, and then I started spreading my panic. I like that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, to other students?
Oh, and then the teacher in junior year, they took me aside and they're like, hey, all your kids in the class, they're fucking scared. And I wanted to tell you this, we this is like a lot. This is like, it's a melting pot at CalArts. There's every ethnicity. And we had a weenie, a BJ, and a Wang in my class. Yeah.
Oh,
I thought you'd like that.
That's crazy. So you had a lot of Asians.
There's half the class was Asian. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. And so I think it was when I told Weenie, hey, and I told her that ratio number, she realized it and she started telling all her girlfriends. And then whatever it was, it got to the teachers and the teachers pulled me aside and they're like, you can't do this. And I'm like, okay, I played dumb. And I was like, okay, I won't do it anymore. And so, but it was the fucking truth. So anyway, that was it. So I started fucking working sophomore year. I started working fucking hard for a job. And then I landed, I don't know how, the gods of animation, the cartoons above, landed me a job at DreamWorks.
What?
With Spielberg.
Get the fuck out of here.
And my first job was on Shrek 3, which is the shittiest
movie.
What
the fuck? You start working for DreamWorks and you worked on Shrek 3?
Shrek 3 is terrible, man. Yeah. I spent 2 years.
Well, you start working for DreamWorks. That's fucking.
Yeah, it was.
People dream about that shit.
It was. Listen, man, I just want to say I was very lucky. I'm not saying like, it was just that I saw those numbers and those numbers were real. And I panicked. It's till now, man. I still have anxiety and nervousness about work, you know, and that will last. I don't know. I saw my homie Justin Roiland. He created Rick and Morty, you know?
Oh,
and
damn, like, yeah.
That fool, I mean, he seemed like, I don't know if he even appreciates how successful that show is.
That's large, dude.
That's huge, man.
He must be a millionaire. Is he a millionaire?
He is, but he still has he still has that fucking anxiety of for other things though. Like he's proud about Rick and Morty, but I like to me it's just like I understand his anxiety. It's just like I got Rick and Morty, but adult animation still needs to fucking blow up. There's still so much in his mind
that he
wants to fucking make big. And dude, by the way, let's bring it up later. I've got a huge reveal for your show.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Justin Roiland when we get into the Adult Swim shit.
You're building your way up there to the
So what happened was I ended up at DreamWorks, and then that's when the worst thing happened. And my third year there, I realized not all these people are in it for the art. It was like Pinocchio, like just realizing, oh fuck, some of these guys are against me, you know, and it just sucks. Like,
did you realize that shit?
I'm a small town boy, man. I'm from Santa Barbara.
Yeah,
I'm really gullible. But I had this one art director. I won't name his name, but this fucking guy. I looked in his eyes one day and I said, you know, Lou Reed, Pale Blue Eyes. You know that song by Lou Reed?
Yeah. I love Velvet Underground as well. Yeah.
That song was that guy's eyes. And I said, why is that guy's eyes so shady? And then I realized this fool's not in it for the fucking art. This fool's fucking in it for the money. Oh, I can feel it to this day.
I don't like that shit.
That day changed my life, man.
And make you feel? Because I still do music and shit, but
yeah,
I don't. I don't do it for the fucking money. I do it for the love of the fucking art of it. You know what I'm saying?
I watched when you hit me up. I watched some of your videos.
Oh, thanks, man.
And right away I was like, he's one of us.
Oh yeah. I'm not. I know I ain't rich off this shit. I work fucking super hard. Wait, dude, what happened to my camera? Oh shit!
Look at that shitty drawing.
that's Raymond. What the hell happened?
That's Raymond, dude. Raymond's got a big pen, dude. He's got a fucking.
Raymond. Yeah, that's Lil Ray. That's Raymond. Lil Ray. But anyway, so I don't know what the fuck happened. I think there's a ghost in here. But yeah, man.
It's the cartoon guy.
I do not like people who are like that, but
it's gnarly, man.
And a huge majority of people in the world are like that.
A lot of them.
Most people. Yeah,
most of them. Exactly.
Most people are like that.
That's what all happened.
I hate that shit.
One day. I figured that out. And it was so scary. To this day. So what do? You can't fight it because you just got to live with it.
You adapted to it.
I have to adapt. It's to this day, it's really hard, man. You know,
I know. It's like me wanting to do music, and I get a meeting with a huge record company. They're like, "Well, we like what you're doing, but you're gonna have to do K-pop and wear makeup and be like a little." You know what I'm saying? It's like that type of shit where I'm like, it's everything.
Hey, you look hot with K-pop.
Yeah. It's everything I'm against, but it's like, well, that's the only way to make money. That's how we can market you like that.
Yeah.
Not what you're doing now.
But that's the thing though, man. It's just like, if you look at history of cartoons and it's what I laugh at so much is, look, you fucking studios can hire all the celebrities you want. Let's look at the history of cartoons in the last 20, 30 years, right? Okay. Who created Beavis and Butthead? A nobody. Mike Judge. One of the greatest cartoons ever made. Who created South Park? One of the greatest cartoons. A nobody's. Trey and Matt. You know, they're fucking great. Who created Ren and Stimpy? John Kricfalusi. Who created a fucking The Simpsons? Matt Groening. All these dudes were nobodies. They were fucking just doing their shit.
Yeah.
The formula is there. The formula is, it's not celebrities making these fucking major cartoons. It's
nerds.
Just it's nerds.
Nerds are doing it, right?
Nerds living in Hollywood.
But that's a great point. How do the nerds get discovered then?
It's lightning in a bottle.
Huh?
Lightning in a bottle. Do you know what that means? It's just pure luck.
Just luck.
See this bottle?
Yeah, lightning in a bottle. Boom. It's like the lottery then.
It's the lottery, homie.
All right, then. How did you link up with the Adult Swim?
Oh, I'm sorry.
If it's lightning in a bottle, how the fuck did you get your deal?
Okay, so what happened was I was working at DreamWorks, and then, dude, I worked on Shrek 3. I worked on Shrek 4. I worked on Trolls. And honestly, it was death by cop. I couldn't take it there anymore. And I couldn't quit because the money was so good. But I just had them eventually fire me.
Oh, damn. You had them fire you?
Yeah. Yeah.
How good was the money? Were you making a couple G's a month? Like, what?
So you got to understand, like, what happens is when you're out of college and right off the bat, you're making $95,000. This is a kid who was working at Yamato's, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was working at Yamato's my senior year.
Off your tips. Like, just off with tips. Yeah.
It was great, man. It was fucking awesome. You could live off this shit. When you get 95K a year, I was living on Cherokee in Hollywood. I was going out every night, you know, just going to the best sushi restaurants. I was living life. It was so fucking sick. But that day I noticed, it's not all about the art, was the day that killed it all. It was just like the day that it didn't matter how much money. And my parents are upset that I wanted to do the death by cop thing, but that's what happened. So I collected EDD, right?
And you're on unemployment?
I collected unemployment after DreamWorks for a year. And it was during that year that I just refabricated my existence. I thought I made the worst choice with a industry. I just thought cartoons was, I fucked up. I thought DreamWorks was the pinnacle of what you want in cartoons. And look at these guys. It's the people I'm supposed to be, the director, the art director, are people I fucking like despise. Like,
oh, yeah.
And then I went to Cartoon Network and I pitched a TV show to Craig McCracken, the creator of Powerpuff Girls. And it was there that I got a development deal. And you know what that is, right?
Oh, yeah, that's major. Yeah, I know what it is to actors. They fucking throw you a bunch of money and then you get to
create a TV show.
Yeah, create a show.
Yeah. So I created the show called Sticks and Bones for Cartoon Network.
Wait, did you walk? You just walked into the building?
Yeah. No. I knew the assistant to Craig McCracken.
Oh, that helped out. Yeah, you had some links in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I pitched to him. He fucking loved it. And then Rob Sorcher, the guy who ran Cartoon Network at the time. Dude, I'm sorry if I'm boring your audience.
No, you're not. I have it written down. This is what I want to know about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I went through development for a year and a half, and we finished development. He fucking loved it, right? But he said, dude, this is a show about a bunch of wild kids on an island. This is too much like another show we have in development called Adventure Time. So we can't have two shows like that at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was up to Adventure Time or my show, Sticks and Bones, and they went with Adventure Time. And then I was like, fuck. So then it was an executive at Cartoon Network that said, I love Sticks and Bones. Let me introduce you to the creator of Adult Swim. His name is Mike Lazo.
Oh, damn.
So I said hi to Mike over the email, and he said, hey, what's up? And then you got to understand Mike Lazo's history. He discovered Powerpuff Girls. This guy, Mike Lazo, he brought Saved by the Bell back to Cartoon Network, right? So Saved by the Bell was our generation, right?
Oh, yeah, Mario Lopez.
He bought the rights to Saved by the Bell and brought it under Cartoon Network and had a new generation watch Saved by the Bell, and the ratings were insane on Cartoon Network.
Man, that's smart as hell. Getting the
it was cheap.
Yeah.
It was cheap to buy, and he fucking did it. He discovered Dexter's Laboratory, and then he fucking whatever. And everybody at Turner, who owns a Cartoon Network and Adult Swim, was like, who is this fucking guy? What else does he have in his mind? And he went, I want to create a late night adult content cartoon. Welcome, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, with Space Ghost Coast to Coast, Birdman, whatever the fuck that thing is. And then he saw my shit and he said, I mean, it's a long story, man, but whatever. I got King Star King. That was my first TV show.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah.
So you're in, yeah. Let's talk about that.
And this is what got me King Star King, won me an Emmy.
Yeah, look, what's up, man? What's up with that Emmy, man? Let's talk about that Emmy. You have a fucking Emmy in your hand.
Lightning in a bottle right here.
I mean, dude, when you show that to your parents, dude, does that make them cry?
It did.
Come on, dude. Come on. That was Niagara Falls right there.
It was.
Come on.
Dude, Steve, you know that.
Woo!
I'm glad you said that.
Wow.
I know how much you love your parents because I've heard you and Bobby Lee talk about
your
parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know it's deep shit.
Oh, it's deep. It's deep. Yeah.
It's deep. And so, like, I think pleasing my parents is, like, one of the best things. And that's what happened when I won that shit for fucking King Starkey. Yeah. Because
that's fucking crazy, dude. Like, how many, like, what's the percentage of motherfuckers who win Emmys? Not much, right?
Pretty fucking low. I was the
pretty
first.
Pretty low.
And especially the way I won it. So King Star King aired, right? Well, this is what happened. We were halfway through production of King Star King and Mike Lazo calls me up and he goes, I cannot air this. And I went, why? He said, it's borderline porn. He's got a southern accent.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I was like, oh shit. And he's like, but look, I'll tell you what, we'll make it our first internet show. So I was like, okay, cool. So he put it on the internet. The fucking ratings were good. And he's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to air it on Adult Swim, but at 4 a.m.
That's cool. Fuck it.
That's cool, man. Look, all those coke heads coming down on the shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's who watched my shit, right?
Oh, so that's what you wanted to watch. That's great. Why not?
Why not? And then they fucking canceled it after one season. And I was like, oh, shit. So then I was like, well, fuck. I was sitting in my room. I'm like, this sucks, dude. In a fucking, oh, dude, it's brutal. When your show gets canceled.
That must not feel good.
It hurts, man.
Yeah. So how did you get back on your feet?
I remembered what I did back in college. I used to submit my film. And I was like, fuck it. I'm going to only submit it to one thing, the Emmys. And then, boom. Yeah, fucking submitted it to the Emmys, and it was the first Emmy Adult Swim had ever got with a cartoon.
What the fuck? I mean, when did you discover and realize your shit won? Or how does that work?
So I was at a car wash on a Saturday, and I got a phone call, and this girl goes, are you JJ? I'm like, yeah. She goes, hi, my name's Norman Baxwell. I'm just making up a name.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm here with the Emmy nomination board. I'm like, yeah. And she goes, we're pleased to tell you that you have won an Emmy Award for your cartoon, King Star King. And I was just in a car wash.
Oh, shit.
All these dudes washing cars. It's like 9 a.m. And I just went, woo!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fucking nuts.
And then it was just like, it was nuts, man. And then I just called my mom and dad first. And after that, oh, I'm sorry, Jackie. Here's my little dog, Dracula.
Okay, Pomeranian?
Pomeranian dog.
Yeah, oh, hi.
Yeah, you know your dog.
Oh, yeah.
And so then, yeah, that was it, dude. It was weird.
Dude, it was good. That's insane. That's a little bit of a
fuck you back to the company, too.
I mean, could you ever imagine growing up winning a fucking Emmy? Like, you know, when you're at art school. Could you ever imagine that shit?
None. Zero.
I mean, that must be beyond your wildest fucking dreams.
It was not even a thought or an idea. It was just something that just happened. And it was just like, it was crazy, dude. I mean, it was nuts. And then going and all that shit, that was nuts. And then the Emmy party is nuts. And just like the whole fucking thing was crazy.
That's fucking nuts. So as far because we're to our this interview flew by, we're on our last 5 minutes. But this is the time where I think we covered some good shit, don't you think? I mean, that was a good kind of
two things.
Go ahead.
So I did Fairy Tales. That was the new cartoon that came out.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing a King Star King special with Justin Roiland, the head, the guy who created Rick and Morty.
Okay, when's that dropping?
So we just wrote the outline and we're writing the script. So that's going to be sick. And then I'm also working with Netflix on a new show as well. So I'm with Netflix right now and Adult Swim.
That's fucking insane.
We'll see how that works out, man.
I mean, dude, okay. So what about, this is the time where, you know, to give your shout outs, if you have a website or, you know, just to kind of shout out your socials and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just that JJ Villalta Instagram.
So that's JJVILLARD. That's his Instagram. Do you have any merch or like shit? Oh, what about your art? How can motherfuckers buy like your art?
Dude, I'm going to come out with a zine and it'll just like have all that shit. Like, you know, people DM me for originals a lot and stuff. I usually do an art show once a year, but Steve, we're living in quarantine.
I know.
I don't know. Like last year, I couldn't do my art show, but I don't think I'm going to be doing it this year.
Can they order prints of your art online somewhere?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm going to do a book and it's going to be fucking sick. And I'll just give it, you know, it'll be a really good cheap price and everything about it. Like, I love like all my adult King Star King and fucking Fairy Tales is free right
it's
now
free.
On adultswim.com. Yeah,
okay,
on adultswim.
Can we plug that website? So just adultswim.com? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You heard it first from JJ. Those are free right now on Adult Swim. You can watch that shit for free. Stream it free.
Yeah, all the episodes are there.
Hey, by any chance, are you watching Cobra Kai on Netflix?
Yes.
I'm into that shit. We got for part two. We got to talk about Cobra Kai. I'm into that shit. It's cheesy, but I love it.
It's the worst,
but it's the best.
Best writing ever.
I love it, dude. You know why I like it? They bring the old shit back from the movie.
Yeah, but it's just like it's always so bad. Like
I know, but I love it.
It's so gnarly. Like all the shit that happens.
You know, I made a fool out of myself. I met Ralph Macchio. My brother was presenting an award show on Wiltern. And I was fucking wasted. I was drinking back then. I went drunk and I saw Danny DeVito there and I walked up to Ralph Macchio and I'm like, the Karate Kid, dude.
Yeah.
And like, I made a fool out of myself.
No, dude, it's good.
And then I sat in Danny DeVito's seat. Like they're like we're in the green room or whatever, and I was sitting in Danny DeVito's seat. So my brother's like, "Dude, get the fuck, get out of it, get up!" And I'm just like, I was so wasted. But that's
not good, dude.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, JJ. Thank you.
He gives me
shit about it. I'm a fan. I'm happy they brought it back and he's working again. I'm a big Ralph Macchio fan, man.
These stories.
The Outsiders. Hollywood. Come on.
Outsiders great, but not only that, like you go to these parties, you don't, I mean, look, I don't know how to act. Like you're supposed to act a certain way and you're next to an A-list actor. It's just weird sometimes. Like, I don't know. It's fucking nuts, man. It's fucking nuts.
You know, what's even more nuts is you're like in it, but you're like an outsider, but you're in it.
Yeah.
Isn't that, we'll talk about
you
that
are too. Time. I mean, I feel the same.
Well, in a way, you know, I'm on YouTube and shit and I do music and I have a band camp, but I'm not like fucking out there. Fucking, you know, doing movies or and shit like that. You know what I mean?
I still make mistakes all the time with how to act. You're supposed to act a certain way. It's weird, dude.
There is no rules. Just be whatever.
Fuck the rules, man. There ain't no rules. Show business. Rock and roll, man.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the way to be. That's the way to be. All right, man. Thanks for your time, dude. That flew by. Hey, I wanted to holler. I'm gonna holler at you on your Instagram as far as if you have any other up and coming artists that would be good on here. Maybe you could plug them or like.
Oh, hell yeah. I got tons.
One last thing. Do you have it? I have this written down from the last question. What is your advice for any up and coming artists?
I mean, I guess it's there's a lot. Dude, you got to have thick skin, man. This thing is brutal.
All right, so that's the number one. Just you got to be thick skin.
It's brutal. The business is brutal and it'll bring you to your lowest lows. Yeah.
All right. So just how about this? Don't give up. Be true to yourself and thick skin.
Fuck. Yes.
That's it, man. Okay. Let's shout out your, what's your Instagram again? JJ Villard. And then website.
My website. It's just Instagram. That's cool.
All right. Just hit them up on Instagram. check out his shows on Netflix as well as Adult Swim.
Netflix, not yet.
But coming up shortly.
I hope so.
So that's King Star King, and the other one is the Fairy Tale one, right?
Yeah.
J.J. Villard's Fairy Tales. Hey, I appreciate your time, brother. I appreciate it. I'm ahead on schedule, so it's going to be dropping in about 2 weeks, this one.
Sick.
All right, you're free to go, man. Much love to you, brother, and the best of luck. You're good. You're good.
Thanks, you're Steve.
Good. All right, man. Peace.
Take care, man.
All right, you too, man. All right, so that's J.J. Villard. Really likable guy, wouldn't you guys say? Really easygoing. If you want more artists on here, just holler, comment below. You know, I'm a holler at him on Instagram to see if he has any other artists that he would want to recommend here. So, God, I don't have my cheat sheet, but okay. So, oh God, where's my cheat sheet? Patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. If you want to help support this platform, StevieWeebyShow.com. That's my website. Stir Crazy album is 95% done. Like, I'm one song away. All right. StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. My Instagram's Instagram/QUANGOU. With that being said, rest in peace again. MF Doom right here. A sensei has passed, you know. I've been bumping his shit fucking all week. Love y'all, and thanks for tuning in. Peace.